Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are now entering the baseball section of In This League. And we got, if you're not done with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it!
Oh, he did it! Bogman did it. That's amazing. He never does that. He always poo-poos that idea. All right, welcome back. It's In This League. Stupid open. But we are going to talk about baseball. And most importantly, you can get down with some debating with the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book on Amazon right now. All of our dear industry friends judged the matchups that we put together, and we got some badass matchups in there. We even got a tweet from somebody that I like. They were talking about one of the debates we had that had to do with Chris Davis, and he goes, I was looking at this debate, and I, as soon as I saw it, I said, come on, guys. And then I read it, and then I said, oh, you've actually swayed me. So we've got some cool stuff like that going on. Industry guys that are judging the ones that we put together. It'll put you to the test, and it takes all that, you know, that individual rank we talk about a specific player, and we get to start pitting it up against similar valued guys as well, even some value plays that might be a couple round different. So it's a cool tool to add to your arsenal for this fantasy baseball season. Check it out on Amazon. 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates by Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman. Published authors, respected authors.
Well, I don't know about that.
Disrespected authors. We are disrespected authors.
Disrespected authors, 100%.
Yeah. I look at the sales and I go, oh, nobody likes us. A few ones that like us really like us.
But yeah.
But most people are indifferent. I see the views of what we get when we do episodes like on our podcast, and then I look at the sales. These things do not match up.
Some of that is human nature, though. You know, you ask people to spend one sawbuck, and it's just not going to happen for some people. And, whatever. You know, you obviously, you know, a lot of people have budgets. They're on tight budgets, can't spend whatever. But, you know, if you've listened to us for a while, and you've gotten, you know, whatever it is, $8-$9 worth of entertainment out of us over the years and years that we've been doing this show and many other free shows, maybe buy a book. Maybe just pick one up.
Yeah. You know? And you can pick up a paper one, or you can do the PDF or the Amazon digital version of the word that I can't say. Now, in the book, we have got a Vladimir Guerrero debate, which I thought it was a really fun one. I thought it was a good one to get down with, especially the stuff that we saw, you know, in some of the early drafts that were happening out here in Arizona. But what puts a wrinkle in some of this, and actually kind of it's interesting, the story I think is being told in that debate that we are now kind of experiencing, is on Friday we got information from the Blue Jays that essentially confirmed that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to start the season in AAA. And I believe Pro Football or Pro Baseball Rumors or whatever it was, one of those accounts, those big accounts, had confirmed that they expect him to start in AAA. They are going to hold him down until they accumulate the full year, extra full year of service time, which is usually around mid-April. And the quotes from the, I believe it was the GM of the Jays, was essentially like, we want him to be the best hitter and third baseman he can be. So they really rolled in to be like, you know, we're going to use this, he's not an A-plus third baseman thing, to keep him down. You're not getting, I mean, I think we all expected that, but hearing them kind of shade it has really worried people. You are not getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the first couple weeks. The bigger problem is how much are they going to lay into that ridiculous, he needs to be a better third baseman thing. And could the, and I think what happens now, Boggs, and you and I have talked about it, is a question goes, could this go longer? Is this a Cunha situation? I don't think so. Could this go into May? And you got to pay a pretty penny for it. You know, you have to pay, the price you have to pay for Vlad this year is 2 to 3 times higher than what you paid for Acuna last year.
Right. It's a super frustrating situation to hear something like this, because I feel like this is kind of the time of year where, you know, everyone gets excited about these players. We're excited about, especially the youngsters like Eloy and like you said with Vlad here. But now you get kind of this, you know, a negative talk, whether it's, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, and not saying we're never going to bring him up or anything, but, you know, saying we want him to be the best hitter and best third baseman and he possibly can be, like, the dude's just not going to be a great third baseman. We can agree on that, right? That's just not going to happen.
That he's a great first baseman?
Third baseman.
Third base. Yeah, what'd I say? First baseman?
Yeah, you said. See, you've already planted it there.
I mean,
because he's more of a first baseman than he is a third baseman.
He'll be
right?
fine. He'll probably be like, I mean, the comp, it's scary how much we go to it, but the comp of like a Miguel Cabrera probably holds true. I think he's athletic enough. I mean, there's a worry that where his body is at like 19 and whatever, but you know what?
Kind of a fatty.
Yeah, it's kind of a fatty, but whatever. He can run. He can hit. I mean, everything else is on key. I think he plays a fine third base. I think he can be a major league average defender at third base and play it for many years. And then at some point, he's probably going to weigh himself out of the position and go to first base. And I think he's a good glove. He just doesn't have the range.
I've weighed myself out of many positions. So
you've also weighed yourself out of first base, second base, if you know what I'm saying.
I've weighed myself out of pretty much everything but the missionary position. But looking at
the stranger.
The stranger I can get done real quick. I'm just saying I've got a lot of weight to sit on my arm. Vlad is going, just looking at Fantrax, 45th, right?
Where's he on NFBC too? I want to give a comparison. Okay.
I looked at both. He's at 40 in NFBC. Look at some of these names he's going ahead of in NFBC.
All right.
He is going ahead of Rhys Hoskins.
No.
Noah Syndergaard.
Nope.
Adalberto Mondesi.
Mondesi. I think there could be an argument there.
Maybe. Sure. Okay, how about Chris Davis? No.
I'm not going to.
40-something homers. Come on.
Listen, what's so tough about him is Dynasty, this isn't a close conversation. This year, it's not about, for me, it's not about him being on the field, because I think when he's on the field, Vlad's going to be a 20-plus homer, super high-ass average guy with RBIs. He's going to score runs. He's going to walk. He's patient. He's such an advanced hitter at his age, and I've seen him a ton, and it was only months ago that I watched a bunch of his games in
the NFL.
He's incredible.
He is
incredible.
He has nothing to prove.
But the problem is there now more, it feels like there's more unknowns, and maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's actually going to be a good, but I can see this as a good thing if we all taper back a little bit, because where you had to spend a 4th-round pick on him, man, does it feel better if you can get that 5th-round pick on him. But there are more worries, and this is a bigger risk because the Blue Jays, I think, are wild cards here.
They're definitely wild cards because this could be all talk. Team. You know, this could be all talk about, no, we want him to be a great third baseman because, look, you know, like we said, he's got nothing to prove with the bat. That's done. You know, he's like we said this before on everything we've ever been on. Steamer Projections has him to have the highest batting average in the bigs this year.
He hit 381 last year I think across like 3 levels.
That's ridiculous.
That's like, ridiculous.
He has nothing to prove with the bat. But because he said hitter and third baseman, that is where you start to grow concerns because he's not a great third baseman. And what do they actually mean? Are they going to sit there and go, well, this is as good as he's going to get. What are we waiting on? Let's bring him up. Or are they going to say, no, he has to be better than this to come up, because what are the Jays playing for this year? You even mentioned that.
Yeah.
The Welsh, what are the Jays playing for this year? They're not going to go to the playoffs this year. Yeah. They have the pitching staff to do it. They don't have the hitters to do it this season, not in that division.
Yeah, it's traded away pieces. It's all about development. Right. I mean, I think the best case scenario for the Jays, and I think they know this, and this is the positive sign about Vlad, is they want to get him up as soon as possible to sell jerseys, to get interest back in the team, to start building around him. But they are manipulating in all the ways they're allowed to manipulate the system to get extra control of him. So he comes out, he rakes in spring training, you know, he does his thing. Everyone's clamoring for him. National spotlight. When is he coming up? You know, he hits a couple homers to start spring, you know, the minor league season. The guy's probably up by around April, right around my birthday, probably right around like April 20th, right in that range. He's probably up. And when he's up for good. And guess what? We all kind of move on with our lives because no one's projecting him to play 160 games. If you get 500 bats of Vlad, that's what everyone's banking on when you look at Steamer projections of him going, you know, having a 300 average. But it's with all of
that
said,
what's
that
crawling in the back of your mind, though, of the worst? What's the worst possible scenario for him?
Oh, I mean, I think worst possible case, I think worst scenario is, I mean, he could hit for low average. You know, he could get beat up a bit. He could maybe hit for 270.
I don't mean that. I don't mean as far as production goes, because I don't, to be honest, once he gets up, I don't fear his production.
I mean, I don't either. The guy's going to just smash.
What I'm asking is, what is the worst case scenario of him? Like, what is the latest you could see them possibly bringing him up?
I mean,
June 1st?
May 15th is what jumped out to me.
Okay.
Like, I mean, sure, they could hold him back for a whole bunch more. But also, like, this is the weird thing you got to go and do. There's all these weird math equations for, you know, Super 2 issues. There's the extra years of service time. And, like, what's going to truly be the importance here of what they want to hold back? And the extra year of owning his contract, it relates to, it's like mid-April. We don't know. That's the other thing. But if they wanted to hold him back just to get us, I could see May 15th being in that relative range.
So let me ask you something. May 15th, he's going off at 40 right now. We already said some guys that we just wouldn't take him over. You wouldn't take him over Hoskins at this point, right?
No.
You wouldn't take him over Syndergaard. We said Mondesi is a, you know, we fear the bottom out for Mondesi. So I can see anyone taking him over him. Yeah. Chris Davis was kind of I'm still going Chris Davis. May 15th, Vlad or Chris Davis?
I would go Chris Davis.
May 15th, Vlad or Anthony Rendon?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I think Vlad could be very similar statistically to Anthony Rendon.
So do I.
Because the thing people don't realize about Vlad is he's a big boy, obviously his dad, huge hitter. But, like, he's not tapping into massive power right now. He didn't do it last year overall. He didn't do it in the fall league. Like, he's going to get there. But the guy just, he's so patient, and pitchers really work around him. I'm not sure he comes out and hits more than 20 homers. And Rendon is going to do that in his sleep. He's going to hit 300.
So you would take Rendon if they're similar players and one guy isn't coming
up. I think
that
right now, I think I might take Rendon over him right now.
Okay, that's another guy. How about Cody Bellinger?
I could see myself. I could see myself going Vlad.
I think I would take Bellinger if it was May 15th.
I have Bellinger ahead of him in my ranks. I'm gonna look.
If I thought it was, you know, ahead of time, like 2 weeks in April, I would definitely take Vlad. The other guys here, Bogarts, Correa, Suarez, Albies, you're taking Vlad ahead of all those guys?
For the most part. I'm looking at where
May 15th,
I have
Vlad. I mean, there's some other guys down, and there's some pitchers mixed in here, too. But, I mean, he's got to come down just a touch.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at my ranks right now. I've got Bellinger and Rendon both just in front of Vlad.
Okay.
Rendon is one spot above Vlad, and I got Bellinger two spots above
Vlad. So it seems like, you know, when you did your rankings, you put a little bit of that in there even before these comments were.
Yeah, I was ready for that type of stuff. I was already kind of building in.
It sucks.
It does.
I hate this stuff, and I hate the way that this works. And we've had, you know, players complain about it. We've had fans complain about it. I mean, you know, the fact that there's no salary cap.
I saw our guy Spore say this, Boggs, and I agreed with exactly where he was going with it. And I've heard this comment before, but the idea that you have something built into your system that holds back the best players on your team is a huge flaw. The idea that you built this weird contractual thing in to hold back, which is probably the biggest star for the Blue Jays for a couple weeks, that's got to get fixed. They've got to fix that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, I think it sucks that as a fan, we're still sitting here waiting to see where Machado and Harper are going to sign. And they block other guys because teams trying to sign them are holding out on spending money on other players because they don't know if they're going to wind up being able to get these guys. So that also kind of sucks. But when you have guaranteed contracts, which is best for the players, these teams have to make sure that they're willing to invest all of this money, because it's not like, you know, you can sign a guy to a giant contract and then cut him after year three and not have that much, punishment to it. So it's a huge investment. It's bigger than other sports.
I was reading about, because there were two contract extensions that went down over the last like 48 hours. You had Aaron Nola and Luis Severino, two of the top upcoming pitchers, you know, mid 20 type of guys. Everyone's so excited. You know, Aaron Nola is going off like the fourth or fifth pitcher in fantasy. And what they did was they signed contracts to buy out some years of arbitration. And then, there's like a vesting option of free agency, like bought out a year of free agency. Here's the point though, because those guys were all working off their initial contracts, I believe, right?
Yes.
And then they signed off to buy out a year of arbitration. Nola is going to hit free agency for the first time at 31 years old. Luis Severino at 30 years old. That's not, what are we talking about? They have control of these guys into their 30s to the first time they go get their money. No wonder you get players like Bryce and them that want to sit and wait and try to maximize, because these guys only have maybe one or two times to maximize contracts. Why do they get 12
they're
years?
They're signing these, you know, deals that look like peanuts compared to other guys getting huge deals, because to be honest, these guys probably need the money.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And it makes sense not to go through arbitration and they get money now. Right. You're absolutely right about that. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what is going around in the in Major League Baseball as far as spring training setting up, some other stuff, maybe finish up with this Vlad stuff. I hate having the full conversation of all this mess that is centered around this contractual stuff, but you know, the Vlad thing is bad. And like it was said before, you know, the idea of holding back the best player, it's a flaw. It's a major flaw in the system that they have not got a fix for. And how about, you know, young upcoming pitchers are going to see their first contract at 31. That's weird. All right. Don't go anywhere, though. More Bogman the Welsh and In This League coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
It is a beautiful time of the year when baseball is here. So go buy 99 player debates
on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, you might have more. How about you might? That was our song. It's a one lyric song. This segment, all the segments, everything that we do nauseatingly is brought to you by 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, a brand new book, as we continuously talk into the baseball season. And as it's coming about, the only thing we're not talking about is two of the best players in the league having a team. But what we do get is arbitration and contract talks. So much fun. How about Trevor Bauer? One of the worst in all of baseball.
He's not happy. Yeah.
I love, by the way, that the contract stuff that he had with the Indians wasn't just like down the middle. It was the Indians trashing his character. Like, how about the time where a girl said, Bauer's not my favorite player on Twitter, and then Bauer proceeded to troll her with 40 plus tweets over 2 days.
And by the way, how does that have anything to do with his on the field performance?
Yeah, well, I don't care. I love that they're taking all the character
assassination. No. I love that. But I feel like
character assassination.
that's below a team to do that stuff, though, isn't it? It's not like he went out and stalked her. You know what I mean? It's not like he harassed her.
No, she had like some issues with her job. She had to take down her he harassed her, and she had people like threatening her, and he had to publicly do an apology. Think of what it takes. By the way, think of how many times we've now seen Trevor Bauer in the last 12 months have a public apology. He's done it multiple times, but think of what it takes for him to do it. He's a problem, and I think the Indians think he's a problem. I think they want him off that team because there's been trade talks, and what do they care? They'll get dirty with it. The character assassination.
Well, they're trying to save some money. Yeah.
And the dude with the 420 stuff. I mean, they probably, I know that's it. He did it for charity, and I love that he did it, and we had a person in our listening audience that was helped because we talked about it and he was doing it, but still, they got a lot of ammunition with him because from a character perspective, bottom of the list.
He's a dick.
Yeah,
he's a douche. there's really no other way to say it. You know, douche, dick, whatever word you want to say. He's not a terrible person, but he's maybe the least likable person in baseball not violent.
While also doing these good, like he does this big charity thing, which is so great. What
he's still wound up making that douchey.
He's like Asperger's. Like he's socially awkward. Like he doesn't have the ability to interact with people.
I don't think I should laugh at that because I think that's probably true.
I could hear you laughing in the background. Like he doesn't socially know how to interact with people, so he just vomits out stuff and it comes off wrong and it comes off idiotic and he blames it like he's such a victim. It's like, well, dude, you bring everything on yourself. You wrote an embarrassing rap song smashing one of your own teammates.
What is the podcast equivalent of Trevor Bauer writing a rap song? Is it e-wrestling?
I don't understand.
What could you do that's that embarrassing?
Oh,
what could I do that's that's that embarrassing?
Take your shirt off?
Yeah, that would be...
That might be less embarrassing, to be honest with you.
No, I think it'd be more embarrassing.
For you, it would be super embarrassing.
Sure,
for
right.
the listening
right.
audience, I think they would be very happy.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't. They'd be very happy because I'd be miserable.
I honestly don't know. It's just like, I know there's a stigma and you don't want to, but like a privileged white pitcher from UCLA that goes to the Arizona Diamondbacks and, oh, guess what? He's going to drop a rap album. Like, it's embarrassing. It's all embarrassing. But also, like, what's the place for that? Like, be a professional. Do you not know how to be a professional? Is this, I get to do what I want? All right. But you hurt your hand with your stupid drones. You troll people online. You consistently attack people. Like, give me a break. Enough is enough. Like, one time, one mistake. Okay, you do a lame song and we all laugh about it. And then people don't let it go and you do nothing else. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe people are being ridiculous. You don't stop. You keep doing this stuff.
And one of my favorite quotes ever is, you know, you run into a jerk in the morning. That's just the way it goes. If you run into jerks all day long, you're the jerk.
Yeah.
You know,
I've had that before. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm really overreacting today.
Right, right. And, the word isn't jerk. I can't say it here, but it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we got it. We're fine.
Right. But I got some Trevor Bauer quotes about this. So I went on.
So this is quotes about where the Indians used a personal slam.
His arbitration thing that he won, by the way, and he's still bitching about it.
But that's what I'm saying. He doesn't give up. He doesn't get everything is a problem with him. He continuously pushes everything in, and then people tell us we gotta like him because he goes to goddamn Driveline and he messes with the movement of his pitch because the guy is so interested in statistics and he has a video out there where the same delivery has an RPM of 3,100 on a curveball. We're supposed to be like, ooh, so cool. He's so funny. No, he's not. He's obnoxious at every level. And
every turn.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. So what stupid things did he say?
Here's what he was talking to Bob Nightingale. And he said he spent the last 10 minutes of the case trying a character assassination. I learned that giving to charity is a bad thing.
Okay, so they did the 420 thing then. All right.
Yep. I learned that agreeing with someone on a podcast just for the sake of argument that I was worth $10.5 million should be the definitive answer of why I'm not worth $13 million. Basically, I'm a terrible human being, which was interesting on their part. I thought that giving to charity, especially because they didn't mention it, was a charitable campaign. Just mention the name. You never know how the character assassination plays, and considering that's what ended it, it kind of put a black mark on what I thought was a really well-argued case on both sides. There's not room for that. Let's just stick to the numbers. Let the numbers tell a story. But that's the game they play. Not they as in anyone specifically, but for a long time, that's how it's been done in arbitration. The higher-ups on the team don't go. They have the lawyers argue the case for them. That's the game they play. It wasn't us. We didn't say that. We still like you as a player.
I mean, he's not wrong about any of that.
But the funny thing is after all this, he put out a tweet that was like, oh, I'm not mad at anybody. Well, okay. You went on this little rant, you know, for a long time. You're clearly pissed.
He's just a classic millennial person. You know how many times, and I hate doing this, but like, you and I have a certain disconnect from like the world with certain things, but we all know we see it a million times over because Twitter exists, where you see and you're just like, why do you have to share everything? Like, why is everybody feels so important to every single level, and everybody shares everything to the point where they hurt them. Think of the person that left the note in your food because they wanted their YouTube channel to be up. Everybody thinks they're so self-important that everybody's voice is, they can't just sit back and deal with issues. So anything that happens to Trevor Bauer, he's got to put it out there. And you know what? At the end of the day, like we said before, but we glossed over it, he's not a horrible person. He's not. As far as bad person goes, he doesn't do any of the bad stuff that I see outside of maybe trolling this chick, which he thought he was, you know, proving a point, you know, because he thought this girl was trolling him. So he did it back. And your guy with tons of followers, you might hurt somebody, but he doesn't do anything bad. Sorry, I'm going to cut. Just finishing. Bad things. He does good things. The charity thing is great. You know, he wants to help people. He does a podcast with Leonis Martin, which is telling his story. Like, in his heart, there are things that are good, but his mouth is writing all these checks that are getting him in trouble. He's just an obnoxious person that maybe he does good things, and he's not wrong about any of this stuff because, you know, he's getting blamed for having a charity that's called 42069 because he's immature. And I'm immature, and I laughed at it, and I thought it was great. And that's what's his goal.
Everyone has that friend, right? You have that friend where you're like, why haven't I hung out with that guy in a long time? He's great. He's funny. You know, they're fun to be around, whoever it is. And then you hang out with them for 5 minutes, and you're like, this is why.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Now I remember. And I'm not going to forget next time. I totally remember why I hate this guy. He's a dick. And I'm not going to call him again. And then 6 months goes by, and you're like, why have I not hung out with that guy?
Where'd he go?
Yeah, where'd he go? Well, I'm going to fire off a text to him, see what's up, you know, and then you hang out again, and you're like, God, why did I do this again?
Yeah.
I'm stupid. That seems like what Trevor Bauer is the equivalent of in Major League Baseball. He can do this awesome charity stuff, be a nice guy, kind of be rational about his contract stuff, and kind of take a real scientific approach to it and see what he's worth, you know, like when he said he was worth $10.5 million, and that's probably what he should be getting paid. And you know, so he can be a normal, regular person, but then he can whine and cry about all these things and be a little crybaby. And that's why most people don't like him.
Yeah. So, it's just one of those things though. It's tough because it's hard to say like, hey, you can't have a voice. Like, you can have a voice. You have your
a problem overall.
But
you know, that's not just a sports thing. That's a, you know, that's a societal thing. Like, sometimes there are 50% of the people at least on Twitter, probably closer to 85 to 90%, where if they didn't exist on Twitter, no one would care. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't make any difference.
No, absolutely.
At all.
But I mean, and that's where I get with, like, I understand you get your voice and stuff, but like, why are you so shocked? Like, that's where I'm getting right at. Like, are you so shocked that people tweet about you and don't like you because you continuously you do rap songs and you openly talk bad about people that you play with and you do a 42069 thing, and then, okay, guess what? The team uses that against you. Like, are you surprised? Like, you did an awesome charity. You did a cool thing, but you put the symbol of an illegal drug for this for baseball. And then you've trolled people online. I mean, I just don't know what to say. Like, do you not realize that you're not likable? Like, come to terms with that. And then maybe just like shut up, like just do your job. You're really good at your job. You're really good at your job. But again, it would be one of those things like, why should I shut up? You know what? You're right. You shouldn't shut up. But people are going to talk about you in this capacity.
He's the most confusing player.
He is. I don't know how to deal with it. Like sometimes I like him and sometimes I respect some of the stuff. I can respect, you know, like I'm just going to do my thing. But still at the same point, though, is it's like, but why? Like, I guess I don't understand why you're so shocked. Like, are you that shocked that you bring this stuff on? Just like you said before, where it's like if you're just surrounded by jerks all day, maybe realize that you're probably bringing some of this on yourself.
Yeah, you're the jerk. You're not always a victim. Like that's a victim mentality that I cannot stand. You know, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? And that's kind of why I let stuff roll off of me, because if something weird or crazy happens to me, I now have a story to tell the people that I know. I have an anecdote. You know, it can't be anything too terrible, you know, but if it doesn't affect me, you know, personally the day after it's over, then, you know, who really cares?
But getting to all that too, like, here's the worst part about it, and this is what happens with him all the time, where, you know, I just get annoyed with it. But he's not wrong at all. You know, arbitration is put in. None of the stuff that's why they lost the case, because none of it was point. I mean, none of it made sense.
None of it mattered.
None of it mattered. None of it mattered at all. This is what does matter, though. Let's talk about this one. Jacob DeGrom ready to get paid, ready to get them dollar bills, cash rules, everything around me. Cream Jacob DeGrom. He has set a timeline for his contract extension. I hadn't even heard this, but Boggs, what stipulation did he put on that contract timeline?
So he wants his contract to be extended by opening day. He's set kind of like, I'm not going to go and negotiate things after opening day. I'm just concentrating on baseball at that point. But he has also said, which, to be honest, I don't understand how a player can dictate this, but he said if he doesn't get his contract extension, he is going to put in a self-imposed innings limit on this season. So, well, first of all, let me ask you about the self-imposed part of that. Like, is that okay? I mean, isn't that like your boss saying, no, you can't have the day off? And you're like, no, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to totally.
Yeah, I'm just taking the day off. So you can't, like, because if he's like, you know, hits 185 innings, he's like, yeah, no, that's it for me. I'm done. And they're like, well, no, we're starting. You're playing.
What's the difference, though, between that and like Lev Bell sitting out?
Well, I mean, Lev Bell can sit out all he wants, but he sat out for the entire season.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what's the difference?
I mean, he can always fake an injury. You know,
well, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is like, he's holding out because he wants to limit his innings because he wants to make sure that he's free and clear, that he's nice and healthy for his contract extension. You know, I know what you're saying. I'm not trying to defend it.
What I'm saying is he already has a contract he's playing under, so he needs to go.
So did Lev Bell.
Yeah, but Lev Bell set out for the entire season, got no money. None. He got nothing.
Yeah, I guess I'm just throwing out like what he's doing.
So it's kind of weird to show up to your job and then not, like, what if the Mets make the playoffs?
I mean, how does he go about that, though? Like, you're not going to pull yourself
like,
in an inning.
Is he going to say just like, nah, skip me this time?
Yeah, see, that's what it's got to be. It's got to be skip me. Oh, that's a dirty one. Back to the Lev Bell comparison, all he's doing is he's trying to preserve himself for this big contract extension. If he doesn't get it, he's risking being out there and making big money. So he doesn't want to put a bunch of damage on his arm, just like what Lev Bell didn't want to do. He didn't want to put a bunch of damage on his legs.
It's just kind of one of those things where what if the team is like, nah, you're going to pitch on
me. What if you make the playoffs?
Yeah, and what if you make the playoffs? You know, I know we don't necessarily expect the Mets to make the playoffs, but they got a great staff.
Definitely
a possibility.
They put themselves in line for it. That's why they were making all those moves.
Better shot than the Blue Jays, that's for sure.
For sure.
So,
Do you think it's threat, or do you think this is something he'd follow through with? Like, if this were Trevor Bauer, he follows through with that.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if it's a threat. Now, I think that if you say this now and you don't get the extension, you have to follow through.
You have to.
Or else, what's the point?
You're like, a liar.
Yeah, are you a liar? It's like, well, why are we going to believe what you say anyway? Like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to go pitch out there. And then he went out and threw 250 innings. Yeah, okay, whatever you say, Jacob DeGrom, no one believes you. You know, it's that kind of thing. You have to kind of – you got to stand behind what you're saying here. So I don't know. But does this knock him down to you as far as fantasy goes?
I think it's interesting because DeGrom has come in – I mean, there's almost
like
a flatness
to him. We've seen him go as pitcher number two.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is he's come in as the number two, and there's almost this Vladness to him where it's like we kind of all know and have expectations, but, man, if you take a couple starts off at DeGrom, what's the justification of him over Sale? You know, I mean, I know you keep starting. You don't want to move down too far, but I don't know. Did he say what he would cap himself at, like 180 innings? That's what my
brain goes to. I don't think you know, he might have said, but I don't remember specifically what the innings cap was. But you got to imagine it's like maybe 175, 180. He can't be over 200 innings, right, if he's putting a cap on himself?
I can't imagine. I'm looking here. It was the opening day salvo puts on, gets deadline to get a new deal. I was just looking to see if there was anything. All right, well, we'll look at this on break. Whoa, there's some interesting tweet stuff out here. We'll look on break, and because I just found an article from NY Post. We'll talk about what that is, and we'll finish this bad boy up. So last segment coming up in this league.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
Final segment, friendos. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. Very respected authors of the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book. Which
authors
you could buy.
Of here's, the 99.
Here's what people could debate. Do, Bogman. Under your breath. I don't know. People could buy a physical copy. They could come out to Arizona, and they could get an autographed version of it.
Why?
They could go to a spring training game. They could buy us beers, and then we could autograph that book, and you would have a collector's item. Piece of memorabilia.
It's a collector's item, like all those newspapers and dead cats in hoarders' houses are collector's items.
When there's only 100 sold, it's a collector's item. Bogman. One of 100. We'll start numbering the books. We'll number the books. That's what we'll do.
Oh my god! Yeah, we're only selling 100 this year, so you have to bet on them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, physical copies. That's what we're doing. We
do you think that if we sold 50 only and made people bet on them? We would make less money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's way less. But do you think now...
You're trying to do the Martin Skrilly thing here where you're trying to buy Wu-Tang's album as the right. One of one.
I guess what I'm asking is, would the average be more or less than what we're actually charging for the book if we made people bid on them?
Oh,
because so, I got to say, it would be way less. Well, unless we only sold like 10.
We'd have to eBay bottom minimum those. We'd have to be like $35 minimum purchase.
We'd have to hit the reserve.
Yeah, like we have a reserve. There you go.
What's your website that I refuse to look at because I know I'll go spending a bunch of money on?
Oh, Pristine Auction?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
I've never purchased anything off Pristine Auction.
I thought you bought stuff for Secret Santa off there, no? No,
I tried. I tried, but I don't want to slander anybody, but... You know, it's interesting how everything gets upbid pretty quickly. Oh, it seems to be a minimum that goes on. Don't know how you do it. Don't know how you go about getting a minimum always reached on stuff. But no, I've never purchased anything there. And you probably wouldn't. You'd be like, oh, I want to pay $50 for that. And then, you know, in the last couple minutes, it's up to 75 and you're just, and, you know.
I don't know. See, that's something I get weird about when I'm like, no, I'm getting this.
You get competitive. No, I get like that too. I get like that too if I'm really locked into that, but I haven't been.
Right. So, I mean, I have things from Pristine Auction. I have my Juju autographed jersey, but I didn't buy it.
Not one thing. No one's ever gotten me anything from Pristine Auction. Bogman,
has anyone given you a PS4?
Nope. I'm not as liked as you. It's just
right there.
It's not at all. No, I mean, it's because
I let the stuff roll off.
But I'm not Trevor Bauer. I don't sit here and be like, why don't people like me as much? Because I'm not as friendly as you. I get worked up about things a lot more. I think I'm easier to communicate because I get back to people quicker.
That's true. I am a robot with that.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, yeah, there are good sides and bad sides. It's like why did you get back to me about this? And, oh, I don't know, because I didn't.
But people like you. You're more endearing to them. Like, they love the food. They love the crazy stories. They like you with that stuff.
The hair.
Yeah, the hair. Yeah, exactly. They like that stuff.
It's true.
I get some nice things. I have a few fans that treat me very well, but I don't have Pristine Auction pieces. I don't have a PS4.
Yeah,
I had to go buy my Nintendo Switch like the mud people. I had to go purchase with my own money the stupid Switch.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't have a Nintendo Switch. So if anybody wants to send me one at Bogman Sports or ScottBogman@gmail.com, just let me know that you'll send it to me. I'll give you my address.
I'll quit. You know what doesn't happen?
You know what? You don't have people texting you stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You don't have people making phony Craigslist crap about you constantly. So there's that.
I have a family to take care of and two full-time jobs with this to take care of. But, at least nobody goes.
I don't work.
No one goes to at the Welsh.
I sleep all day. I've never worked in my life.
Never had the Venmo hit up at the Welsh to let me buy a video game, because that just happened to you the other day. Someone sent you.
No.
Oh,
no,
sorry. Your PayPal.
No, it didn't.
Apologies.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It was for something else. No.
Oh, okay. But you were promised that you're going to be sent money to buy a video game.
For my birthday.
There you go.
We'll see if that comes around. It's my birthday. You got a birthday coming up. People send you stuff.
Oh, a little late. About a month late on your birthday.
It was promised on my birthday.
That was a month
anyway, ago. Let's talk about Jacob.
I was going to say, it's funny though. I was going to get my kid. My kid's been doing awesome in school and he's this incredible piano player and stuff and he was rocking it. So the other day I got, if you let your wife use a card with points, here's a pro tip. You're going to get a lot of rewards because they use the card. And my wife had my Best Buy card. And so that means she used it. And I got a bunch of, little gift certificates. So I got some gift certificates. And I was like, hey, dude, let's use this for a video game. And we're scrolling through trying to figure out for his Switch to find a new game. And we scroll by NBA Live. And he's like, oh, Dad, you would love that basketball game. Let's get it. And I was like, yeah. No, let's get you a game, dude. I'm like, you almost got me. But no, we got to get you, I don't know what he wants, Mario Party or something like that.
I love that he's like, you would love that, so you get it. That's unbelievably kind.
Yeah, he's the best. But then he was like, oh no, yeah, you're right. Let's not get that game. Let's get something that I'll play. So.
Well, he wisened up.
Yeah, no. He had a moment. He had a beautiful moment that seeped through, but then he was like, whoa, that would mean I wouldn't get the game I was gonna get.
Not something I would do ever. I would be like, no, let's get this one that I don't even want, but I like it better than that one.
Text back the listener, can I get this? And they're like, sure, here you go. All right, so what you want to talk about?
I got listeners now? Cards. They're giving me their cards. So.
Lucky man. What were we talking about?
I'm dying. Jacob DeGrom. Yeah. Right now, I'm looking at Fantrax. He's going off at 14. He's going one pick behind Chris Sale.
I have Sale above him.
He's 11 and he's going, Chris Sale isn't going till 16. He's the second starting pitcher off the board behind Scherzer's going all the way up at 6.
People are worried.
DeGrom's 11.
People are worried about Chris Sale because they think injury stuff is going to loom. There was a weird opener thing. Like, I see a lot of people putting that bad juju on Chris Sale for this year that like, oh, is that trustworthy? This, that, and the other thing.
Well,
is Jacob DeGrom that much after this?
Well, it's a thing that we talked about with Chris Sale, just going to him real quick, where everyone expected him to be injured his entire career, and it never happened until last year.
Nope.
And then when it finally does, there are people that are just jumping off the bridge, doing I told you so's, just all of that stuff with him. So that doesn't surprise me as much. I got to be honest, I don't have much fear with Chris Sale. Do you?
No, I have him above DeGrom.
Yeah, me too. So
I mean, not it's not far. They're not far off. But I would go. And this was way before. Because, by the way, this DeGrom news can be absolutely nothing. A couple days, we could get a contract extension. You just take it out. But but what's so weird to me is DeGrom is like, I want to be here. I want to be a Met, blah, 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 blah. But then to hold out like that, I might limit my innings. Like, what are we doing here?
Contract things are getting unbelievably contentious. You know, they just are. We just talked about, you know, stupid Trevor Bauer for a whole segment and how pissed off he was about how his stuff went. And then we have, you know, Machado and Harper aren't signed. And now we have people threatening stuff just for extensions.
Here's this, too, by the way. This is in the article from the New York Post. It goes, a potential workload reduction is a tactic DeGrom's agent at CAA Jeff Berry outlined in a recent memo to players that sought to address the historically slow free agent markets the past two winters. So listen to that line. Outlined in a recent memo to players. So not just DeGrom, but to players because of this. Among the arguments that have been made amongst long-term deals for pitchers over 30 is the amount of wear and tear. So he's using that tactic to say, all right, you know, if you owners are going to say we're not going to use do good contracts with these pitchers because of the wear and tear, well, then I'm going to suggest to my clients that they reduce their workload pre 30 years old.
Yeah, I like so it. It's a good. There are weird tactics going on all over the place.
We've seen everything dirty.
We've seen Rich Paul with the I'll only play for the Lakers with Anthony Davis, and you know Charles Barkley had to say, you know, look, you're known as one of the nicest guys in the NBA. Don't let your agent do this to you. You know, he works for you, not the other way around, AD. So there's been all kinds of crazy
GM,
agent stuff. Yeah, well, you know.
Fired him because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And then they're like, we want this taken care of better. So.
How do you not take that trade? Like, if the Lakers actually offered all that stuff. I mean, spite. I know we're going down a weird rabbit spite. Hole. Sure, but you can't have spite when you're in that position. You just can't.
I agree. But
right.
You're also discounting how powerful spite is.
No, I'm
You've
not.
You've been around me for 25 years, Bogman, or close to
I've been
to
around my
years.
Family for 36 years. I know how deep
friends?
Spite can run.
22, 23 years?
Over 20, yeah. A long time.
Yeah, it was about 21 years, something like that. And I mean, yeah, between your family and me, I mean, you could write a book on spite.
Right. So, but there's some spots where you got to do the right thing by your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, there have been times where I don't want to show up for a podcast, and there have been times where I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, but I show up and I do my job, and that was kind of I don't really disagree with the Pelicans making a move there. So, but what were we talking about? We weren't talking about the Pelicans when we started this, but it kind of went down. It went down the agents giving out bad advice rabbit hole. Is this bad advice for DeGrom?
No,
or players.
No, but see, this gets back to what I hate the most is that we're having the conversation of players versus owners and stuff like that. Because no, I think it's fine to their point. If you think of from an argument standpoint, if owners are going to use workload post 30 as an argument, then why wouldn't they want to limit all of this stuff pre 30? I get all that. The problem is there's nothing close to a cohesive unit across the board, and that's what all of this stuff makes sports suck. Baseball does such a bad job. They do such a good job with so many things, and everyone's like, oh, baseball's boring, blah, blah, blah. They do such a good job with so many things, but yet the biggest thing in this sport as spring training is here is one of two of the biggest players not signed. And then guess what? Let's top it off with the biggest prospect maybe of the last 15, 20 years. He's not going to start and go into AAA because they want an extra year of service time. It is such a bad look for this sport that you and I have to sit here and discuss, like, who's right? Is it the owners or the players? Who effing cares? Who cares
right. Who's
right in any of that? Because that shouldn't be what we care about with the sport. We should be focused on dingers. I want dingers. I want strikeouts. I want plays where players fall into the crowd and we end up changing our cover photo on Twitter to Adam Jones with a bunch of weird faced people behind it. That's what I love about the sport. Not, oh, guess what? Let me tell you why Jacob DeGrom's agent is working for the people. He's working for the play. I don't care. Any of it, and I'm sick of it, and I just want these guys to play. I just want them to play, and I want to enjoy the game.
Speaking of dingers, did you see that Vegas has the prop bet for most home runs hit in the regular season this year?
No. What is it?
It's on betonline.ag. I'm looking at it right here. It's take a guess at who the favorite is.
Stanton.
At plus 700.
Wow, really?
So he's the favorite, though. He's the most likely. They don't have a field here. Dude, they got like almost every player that could. Number two, well, come on, take a guess.
Judge or Davis?
Yes.
Okay.
Judge.
And then Davis?
Judge. No, Davis is close. Well, so it goes Judge, Stanton at plus 700, Judge at plus 1,000. Then it jumps up to plus 1,800 for – that means every dollar you lay down, you get 18 back. J.D. Martinez is there, and Joey Gallo, who you just said. Then at plus – actually, Trout is plus 1,600, so they don't have this in order. They just have it by – I don't know how this list is organized, but they definitely don't have it in complete
order
here.
Doesn't sound like it's organized in a good way.
Trout is plus 1,600. They have it by like the player ID number for their website, I guess. Chris Davis is plus 2,000. Let's see. Arenado.
I want to put some money down on that Chris Davis one.
Yeah, Chris Davis at plus 2,000. So $20 for every dollar you lay down. That's not bad.
Let's do that.
Down $50.
Why would you just not go put like Stanton, Judge, and Chris Davis?
Now you could do it on all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's also possible that I'm trying to figure out who the worst one they have here. They got Juan Soto at plus 6,600.
Whoa,
that's flushing some money down the toilet, right?
I mean, Juan Soto can do work, but I don't know. He's not a 40-plus homer guy. I mean, I don't think from a 40-plus homer perspective, it's like Davis, Stanton, Judge, Gallo, and Chris Davis. I mean, who did I say? Yeah, Stanton, Judge, Gallo, and Chris Davis. Those are the only four that come to my mind. I mean, I know JD is in there, but
These players have the same odds at plus 8,000. Are you ready?
Okay.
Correa, Blackman, Yelich, Bellinger, Suarez, Freeman, Springer, Hunter Renfroe, Javier Baez, Jose Abreu, Donaldson, Ozuna, Conforto, and Goldie.
And why not?
They all have the same odds.
I'll put a couple bucks down on maybe Bellinger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who I was thinking too, Bellinger.
A little bounce back on that. See, this is what we should be talking about. We should be talking about the odds on dingers for the year.
Shohei Ohtani is plus 8,000 too, and so is Vlad Jr. Same odds as the rest of those guys. Here's some plus 10,000 guys. There's a ton of them here. Hicks, Pujols, Rendon, Nick Ahmed isn't in this group. Dozier, Carlos Santana, Seager, Dahl, Rosario. I'm trying to find.
I mean, who's someone Smoke you would actually? Would you actually pick any of those legitly an option?
Matt Carpenter, maybe.
Is Carpenter 10,000?
Yeah, plus 10,000 if I'm not dying here. Yeah. Muncie, Anyar, your boy Miggy, Sano is in there. Cassianos, Mazzara, DeYoung, Grichik, Cano, Braun, Zimmerman, Salvi's in there.
I mean,
Scott Scheffler's not even going to play. Todd Frazier's in there.
Who would you put the money down on? You get to pick one to put money down on.
One of the plus 10,000?
No, just any.
You're
one player that you Stanton. Walk up to the line. You're going to go Stanton? You're going with the easy money? Stanton
every single time, 10 out of 10 times. He just has the most power out of anybody. He's got to stay healthy. And, you know, it's his second year in the AL. Last year was his first year in the AL. He's adjusting to a new group of pitchers and all that nonsense. I think Stanton is the easy bet. That's why I'm constantly in mocks, taking him in the second round. If he falls to third, I'll take him every time.
I don't blame you. But I'm going to go with the plus 2,000 on Chris Davis, 40-plus homers. A lock. I mean, I'm a lock for those 40-plus homers. So Stanton goes down. I don't know. Give it to me. All right, guys, that's the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you go check out the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. So I know your drafts are coming up soon. March is around the corner. Spring training is here. There's no better time than to lock in with this debate book. You can check all 99. We have an article, five articles that review some stuff from last year. We got a top 300 ranks in there. And even if you do the PDF or Kindle, we'll have some push updates that'll be happening. So go check it out on Amazon, paperback version or the Kindle. And you can get the PDF over at InThisLeague.com, the Kindle. Go pick pick those up. Support your boys. Shoot us a tweet, too. Let us know that you got it. We'll retweet that stuff. We are out of here, but we'll be back in this week with a couple ITL baseball podcasts, so make sure to check it out. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. This is In This League. We out.
For you.